This Civic Media podcast is sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. Organ donations are desperately needed, and now is the right time to become an organ donor. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Go to heroicdeed.com.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. That's 855-752-4842. It's a Tuesday edition of the Earl Ingram Show. That means Sandy Williams, my co-host, is here, and we've been talking the first hour clearly about, you know, where, you know, our nation is headed. And, you know,
well, the question is, where is our nation headed? I mean, we've got my concern about the coming election is what's going to be the day after, what's the hangover after the election, because we have two sides who are so vehemently opposed to one another. That hasn't happened very often in the past, and it seems to be, the gap seems to be widening and the stridency seems to be increasing. And I think the sense of despair that will be experienced by the people who lose this election is something that's going to require something akin to a national psychiatrist. So I think that's actually one of the dangers we have going into this election is what happens after the election.
Well, and there will be an after the election.
Yeah.
Even as we ramp up to it.
Yeah, one thing, just the music, the theme of the music is that these are all performers or music who ask Donald Trump please not to use their music. And I only could choose seven songs for this, but there could have been 147.
Well, let me say this. I'm only going to respond to this one time. So if people are as calm as Earl and Sandy, then I am scared Rachel Maddow wasn't playing around last night. Let me say this. I am not unmindful of the threat of Donald Trump becoming president of the United States. You know, you don't live in a nation for 70 years and not understand the implications of elections. As I've stated before, I've been a part of 11 presidential elections. I understand what's at stake, and I voted in everyone. And I'm working with organizers to prevent Donald Trump from getting elected. But at the same time, you know, I'm not going to go jump off of a roof. You know, and so I'm not going to come in here and be hysterical. Being hysterical about what the prospects of Donald Trump getting elected are not going to change anything.
Well, what's interesting is I think the more that the people who oppose Donald Trump get hysterical about it, the more entrenched those who support Donald Trump become, because it seems then to be a battle. It seems like there is a we they, to the extent that those who oppose us are more strident about us, then the we they chasm becomes greater. And it's what's happened to us. And I'm afraid that Donald Trump's had a great deal to do with it. Someone who's willing to call people retarded, willing to call everyone who opposes puppy, all of that outside the norm behavior has begun to create, when you take a punch, there's a counterpunch. And he's been punching for 10 years in this same fashion. So I would lay a lot of what's going on at his feet, but he obviously struck a chord amongst a bunch of people as well. I think that I think that he will be bad for the evolution of the American system and the American democracy, because I think that what he wants and what he could put in place could be destructive. I'm more fearful about the near term. I'm more fearful about what he's going to do to the economy, quite frankly. Even though Donald Trump polls more favorably in terms of being someone who can better run the economy than Kamala Harris, the Wall Street Journal agrees with me. The economists out there agree with me. The financial community agrees with me that Donald Trump will be far worse for the economy if he implements the policies that he's talking about than Kamala Harris will be if she implements the policies she will be talking about. Donald Trump is far more likely in the near term to create an inflationary stagflation recession. In fact, if he implements everything he promises to implement, our Social Security system will be empty. The tank will be empty in 6 years, only 2 years after he gets out of office. And that's substantially because he wants to, for instance, remove the taxation of Social Security income for those who might be wealthy and also receiving Social Security income. And his tariff policies, promises to screw up supply chains and promises to be highly inflationary. And his tax reductions, unfunded or uncounterbalanced by reductions in expenditures, promised to be highly inflationary too. So I think we should be fearful about the long-term evolution of the American system with Donald Trump. But I think those who are worried about something that's tangible and near-term ought to be worried about what Donald Trump is going to do to the economy, because he's going to take the economy that was solid under Obama, that he inherited and failed to ruin, but he did set it in motion for ruin by the chaos of his handling of the pandemic and by the inflationary tax reduction. And now he's announced a bunch of policies that promise to ruin it.
All right, let's go to Gene from Eau Claire. Good morning to you, Gene. You say what?
Good morning, guys. Great discussion this morning. And I'd like to bring up the elephant in the room behind Donald Trump. Donald Trump has a following. Republicans could never get that following. They put up with all kinds of abuses and running them down, just nail them. And everybody thought it was great, especially his followers. And he's the guy, he's the link. As soon as he's elected, I don't know what's going to happen to Donald Trump. And I hope that people pay attention to this. Now, all of the things that I've been getting in the mail, horrific things about my candidates, nothing from the Democrats, by the way. Americans for Prosperity, AFP. They don't even use their full name anymore, AFP. Letters written to me, like their business letters sent with a stamp. Wisconsin neighbor, Tammy Baldwin, has the opportunity to provide fentanyl detection equipment, and she didn't do it. You know, all these different things. And by the way, he's going to bring American dream and secure our borders and all of our American children and have the freedom and safety that we once had. Please join me in voting for Humpty, the guy who isn't even from Wisconsin. These people got money. They're playing with your heads, and we really need to fight back. And the only thing you can do is vote. The only way that we can protect our democracy is to get out there and vote, and especially women. This is for your daughters. You pay attention to what is happening to women in America. You get out there and you vote. If you love our kids, you don't want more of this kind of behavior, because Trump never left. They used Trump throughout this whole time. Nothing could get passed. I watched live. They were fighting. They were bringing up all these things to stop any bills to help you. You need to vote for people who have the D after their name. And I'm an independent, by the way. And look at all the Republicans that are coming out yelling, don't put this guy in. They saw what happened. He had total control, of course, because everybody bowed to him. I watched them in meetings. Oh, Donald, you're the best. People that I admired cow down, put their heads down. He'd nail them, and oh, everybody loves that when Donald Trump kicks those people in the head. But you know what? Nobody stops him. And that guy is not very, very well-minded right now. So please, guys, get out and vote. And I'm
Hey, Gene, thank you very much for the call. Let's go to Mark from Sussex. Good morning to you, Mark. You say what?
Thanks for taking my call, Earl. I got to tell you, the last hour and 15 minutes, it's the end of the world as we know it. Oh, my gosh. Democrats are just way over the top on this. Is there going to be a smooth transition? Absolutely. Either way, I'm actually more afraid that if Donald Trump wins, that there's going to be riots from the Democrats.
So hold on. So what makes you think two things? And Sandy, you can join in as well. I mean, you say you believe there's going to be a smooth transition even if Donald Trump loses. I don't know where you get that idea. And two, that you think that if the Democrats lose, they're going to somehow, do what the Republicans did. Where do you get that from?
Well, again, I think that the National Guard is going to be out in hordes all over every major city, so they're going to have damage control. It's going to be Trump, win or lose, again, I don't think there's going to be any uproar. I think there's going to be a lot of states that are going to be doing recounts, especially the eight that are going to be in play. But for Democrats, when I hear Gene and Tom and, you know, that's just childish.
You don't think they have any foundation to be concerned about the things that Donald Trump is saying and Project 2025, that none of those things have any merit?
I don't think Republicans or the National Guard or the police officers or whoever will allow anything to happen to any city or country.
Well, let me just speak to that, Mark. Though you're talking now about militia, basically, you're talking about the National Guard. You're talking about martial law controlling things. I mean, one of the things people are worried about is a shift towards the use, the necessary use of that kind of governmental power in response to conduct that might be symbolic, right? I mean, protests in the street. So long as it doesn't turn into chaos and doesn't turn into riots, this is part of the alarm I think people have, is the notion that our government is retreating to that kind of a circumstance.
Well, you know, we didn't have any of this before Donald Trump. 855-752-4842. Guys, hang on the phone lines. We'll come right to you, I promise you. You're tuned into a Tuesday edition of the Earl Ingram Show. My co-host, Sandy Williams.
You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
I've heard there was a secret chord that David played and it pleased the Lord, but you don't really care for music, do you? It goes like this, the fourth, the fifth, the minor fall, the major lift, the baffled king composing, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. It's Tuesday. That means Tuesdays with my co-host Sandy Williams and you. And, man, we're continuing the conversation from early on in the show. Let's go to Mike from
Kenosha.
Just
the music, though.
Oh, yeah, the music.
Rufus Wainwright. This is one of the several songs, I think there were 10 songs, that Trump decided to play when he jumped the shark and had a music festival instead of his rally last week. I think the first thing he did was a Pavarotti piece, and the estate of Pavarotti immediately...
He's been sued by some of them.
Yeah, said, please don't play my music. Rufus Wainwright wrote a post saying, you know, don't ever use my music. Don't use my song, my version of that. Leonard Cohen's estate wrote and said, please don't ever use our music again. So, you know, I think that it's interesting, at least.
Yeah, no question. It's great music, too, by the way. Let's go to Mike from Kenosha. Good morning to you, Mike. Thank you for holding. You say what?
Good morning. Thanks for taking my call, as always. I appreciate it. You know, if you were on a board of a major corporation and, you know, say you're, you know, a good, solid 50-year corporate entity, your earnings have been strong, you're doing very, very well, but you're looking for a new leader, a new CEO to run the position and run the company. You're not going to settle for a criminal, a liar, a thief, a tyrant, a sexual predator. You're going to find the right candidate, the right person who believes in your product, who believes in your company, believes in the mission, and also is going to take people along with him while he grows the company. It's all about putting the right people in place in order to execute. And now we have found ourselves in this unique time where Trump's former chief of staff, General Kelly, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs under Trump, Mark Milley, they're calling this candidate to run our country, Donald Trump, the most flawed, the most dangerous person in the world. And when we see this, I mean, think about it. John Bolton, Dick Cheney, Liz Cheney, you have all these conservatives and Republicans stepping up for Kamala Harris, because this is a unique existential time in American history. And we must, just like Maya Angelou would tell us, we must believe what we're seeing. We must believe what they're telling us. Just think of what it would take for Dick Cheney and John Bolton, much less the generals, to come out and flip over and say, hey, America, this is a big deal. So to me, those testimonial support from far right, you know, we called them Vulcans 20 years ago, and they're stepping up and taking the fodder and all the punishment from all the conservatives, the diehards, for backing a Democratic candidate. Last thing, if anybody thinks that Republicanism or conservatism has anything in parallel with Donald Trump, you need to take another look. It has nothing to do with this man. He's duped everybody at one point or another. And for anybody to think that this man, who has absolutely shown that he is a tyrant, that he marches by his own drummer, if you will, and he is totally out of control. We see this. We must believe it and act accordingly. Otherwise, it may be bloody.
Hey, Mike, thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much for the call.
Mike, I think that was right on. And I think your analogy about how you hire a CEO is absolutely dead on as well. We ought to think about that, because leadership does matter, okay? And it can have an impact. And leadership is supposed to bring out the best in all. If you were hiring a CEO, you'd ask him to provide references. You'd ask him to provide a list of people you've worked with, and then you would contact those people, and you would find out what all these people had to say. You'd find out what Mark Mulaney, his chief of staff, what all these people who've worked for him closely have all these terribly negative things to say, and Donald Trump wouldn't even be on the stack of people to be considered for the job. He would have found his place in the wastebasket right off the bat, okay? And I just don't understand. This is what troubles me, is that the cynicism of the people who want to vote him into power, who simply want to do that because they want him or the Republican Party, whatever that means, to be in power, and they're willing to swallow everything about him that is negative, everything about him that is so patently negative, okay? A person who makes things up on the, you know, on the run. Everyone who goes to his rallies knows that almost everything he's saying is stuff he's making up spontaneously, and they still want to elect him. And I think we should all ask ourselves, those of us who are going to elect him, why are we willing to do that?
See, Sandy, that's a $64,000 question, you know, that people are willing to, all those things you just said, all the things that Mike said, and we've heard, even we heard Mark from Sussex. He's been hearing all of this conversation, and his response is, hey, we're trying to scare people, right? He couldn't see any of the things that were being said here were true. He just says, we're just trying to scare people. 855-752-4842 is Tuesday. That means Tuesday is my co-host Sandy Williams and you on the Earl Ingram Show. Hang on the phone lines.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
You're an organ donor, right? Well, here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. HeroicDeed.com.
Dealer, I'm out of the game. If you are the healer, means I'm broken and lame. If thine is the glory, then mine must be the shame. You want it darker, we kill the flame. Magnified, sanctified be thy holy name. Vilified, crucified in the human frame. A million candles burning for the help that never came. You want it darker. I'm ready, my lord. There's a lover in the story, but the story's still the same. There's a lullaby for...
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967... Oh, excuse me, 844...
You want it darker.
855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. It's Tuesday. That means Tuesday. My co-host, Sandy Williams.
So this music, this is ironic, okay? I put this in here because this is a Leonard Cohen piece that's all about evil, all right? And Leonard Cohen's estate said, look, Donald Trump can't play any of our music, except we'd let him play this one. So I played it for him.
All right. So we're joined by Joe Sheehan. He is a candidate for District 2021. 2026. 26. Yeah. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Excellent. How about you?
All right. Tell us a little bit about Joe Sheehan.
Well, I've been in Sheboygan for 35 years. 20 of those years, I was the superintendent of schools. And that's a long time to be superintendent. I've become a Sheboyganite. The things that I want to be most remembered for, one is the we attitude, and that continues. We responded to Act 10 by getting along and working together. It was teachers with administrators, with parents, to make things happen in Sheboygan. And secondly, different things for different kids. We have 8 different charter schools. We don't need vouchers. We need charter schools to have kids teach in different ways, from project-based to more the artistic. So the we attitude and different things for different kids.
So having been superintendent for 26 years, why did you decide to cast your lot into politics?
Well, I retired, and after superintendent, I was the executive director of Sheboygan County Economic Development Corporation. Say that 10 times fast. And that whole idea was working with businesses. And then this stuff, my wife, actually, I've always hated whiners. If you're a whiner, do something about it or let it go. And she said, Joe, I don't know how to tell you this, but you're beginning to sound like a whiner. And I went, oh, no. So that said, I got to let it go or get involved. Well, the opportunity came up. I am getting involved.
Well, don't take this the wrong way, but you appear to be like Sandy and I, a bit long of tooth to go into politics at this juncture. Is it's a big deal.
You're exactly right. I'm 66. I'm no chicken, you know, anymore. But I still have the energy. I still have the energy. I know this community, and with gerrymandering being done, we can go far. And you're right. I'm old, but I'm not old in spirit.
Listen, you're younger than both Sandy and I.
Well,
so I don't mean old, because I don't feel old.
So when you get to Madison, what is it you think you put as the highest priorities that you want to pursue?
And I'm glad you asked that, because I've been asking people that. I've been knocking on doors, over 3,000 doors, because I'm a listener. So I knocked on and said, okay, talk to me. I'm elected in Madison. What do you want me to do first? I was a little surprised, but now everybody's saying it. A little quiz for you guys. What do you think I'm hearing?
I have no idea.
You know, it's a mélange. I suspect it either could relate to education, or it could relate to a health issue that might relate. For instance, it could be the abortion issue, but I'd be surprised if that was the first on the lips. But I think that it's either health or education.
So that's what I thought. Uh-huh. But we got smart people in Sheboygan. They're saying, Joe, none of that matters until we get along. They're saying, just get along. You know, this gavel in, gavel out, this doesn't cut it. And so I was happily surprised. I think that is the bottom line. And that connects with my whole we attitude, is we're in this together. You know, we have to. We don't have the luxury of where we are anymore.
Well, go ahead, finish your point.
As things move forward this fall, hopefully the numbers will be there that we are going to have to talk. So
it takes two sides to get along. So, yes. You know, Republicans have been in control of the legislature, what, Sandy, 10 years?
Well, I think what's important is that we stop talking about one another in a group, you know, group identifications. Like, even calling ourselves Republicans and Democrats tends to separate us. And I like what he's hearing, because I think what people are lusting after is the ability to talk to one another. And that's why I saw a special, it was before the Steelers game Sunday night, and he was talking about how the Steelers game was a place where all politics was dropped and everyone loved one another and had a communal view of things. I think people want that, and I think what they want is someone to sponsor that in a manner that allows them to drop their guard and stop trying to figure out what's his politics or what's her politics, and let's just start talking. So I hope you can. How do you think we can accomplish that?
Well, first of all, you have to set up your priorities. You know, what is most important and what are things that are negotiable? I think if you look at that and look at what's the common ground, you know, everyone's looking at what we don't agree on. What do we agree on? You know, and I want to get into all the details of individual items, but one would be like a red flag law when it comes to guns. There are certain things people, they can support that. And that that's the low-lying fruit that I, and I may be being called naive, but I really believe that there's a good core of Democrats and Republicans that are done with this negative crap going on. They're saying we want a positive government. And I hope people like me will get involved and help lead them. You may use the word sponsor. That's a great word to use.
Well, see, that's kind of why, you know, when, you know, to see you and we all, you know, remember a time when, you know, the politicians were able to get along and government did work.
Yeah.
And so there are people today who may not have been around and ever seen government work the way it used to. We used to see that on the state levels. It was commonplace.
Well, I think what's happened is people start talking about the different solutions to the problem instead of starting out with agreeing where the problem is. So that, like healthcare, everyone could agree that we have to reduce the cost of healthcare and make our public healthier than they are. Okay, those are two things we could all agree on. Now the question is, how do we get there? And instead of starting out with the talk about, Medicare for all or whatever, you know, we should start with the problem. I like your approach in terms of identifying places where we can agree. You mentioned red flag. Have you found any others?
Oh, boy. I don't think at the top of my head. I know there's a couple. One, a middle income tax deduction. They've talked about that. It almost got passed, but it fell short. That would be another example of working together.
Yeah. Let's do this. Let's see if Bill from Oconomowoc has something he wants to ask you. Bill, you want to have you got a question for Joe?
Well, I'm really glad he's on. When I was younger, I read many of his articles, and he's spot on what he's talking about now. And here's what I think we all agree on. We want America to return to American politics. That's where it's at now. But it is. America is a great country. And the Republicans have proved it. Many of them are voting Democrat because they just don't like the choice. So there's the commonality. There's the nucleus for all of us. Many Republicans have retired because they didn't like the environment. Sandy's even mentioned that. And to create the environment, Joel's exactly right. We'll find the things we agree on, and we'll go from there. We'll build a nucleus of people from both sides. Not impossible, not hard. I really mean it, because most Americans want America to continue our ideals and where we came from. I was fortunate enough as a young man to meet Dwight Eisenhower. That's what I'm talking about. Guys like Dwight Eisenhower and John Kennedy and all that, we might have agreed to disagree, but we didn't hate each other at all.
Hey, Bill, thank you very much for the call, and thank you. And I'm sure Joe appreciates that. Joe, let me ask you, what do you see as the most important thing? You talked about your hopeful constituents, but you yourself as a citizen, what do you see as the most important thing? Clearly, something made you decide to run. And so, you know, your vision of it.
Well, what made me decide to run was just hearing just the negative on both sides. That, you know, how do you want to sit down and talk if you're not, you can't call the other person evil and that if they disagree. That's just wrong. What the one piece, and it sounds simple, but it's going to be harder than heck to do, is everybody in the assembly, their number one thing they agree upon is they want Wisconsin to be the best they can be. No one can argue that. Okay, what does that look like then? And then keep resounding that back again and again and again as you go through issues. And there are issues out there. We know that. You know, obviously, education, mine's funding education and vouchers. There's also, you know, issues with, obviously, women's reproductive rights. There's an issue with, you know, the Medicaid expansion. Those things are all biggies that need to be dealt with the premise of we're all in this together.
So what are your thoughts on education? Public, voucher, charter,
right?
All these different entities that weren't around long ago.
Well, again, I was around for so long. I was in both. I was back then and now, because I've been here for 20 some years. What we did in Sheboygan, charter schools, if you're familiar with charter schools,
yes.
They're within a district. You know, I firmly believe you fund public education enough, you don't need vouchers, because the public schools will be providing those options. And also, you know, waking up the public school saying, hey, we have a group of people that don't believe that we're serving those kids. We need to do that. And what does that look like? So I hope I'm making sense, because in my head I am for sure of what we need to do for education. The vouchers, I don't know if you're aware that there's more money now per kid for vouchers than there is for public schools.
Oh, very much aware of it.
And public schools also have to take every kid. Voucher doesn't.
So you clearly, that's your wheelhouse. You couldn't spend 26 years. Let me ask you this then. What are your thoughts about, you know, making decisions to pull books out of the schools and, you know, out of the libraries?
That's a real delicate one. I would, and what we did in Sheboygan, we had a group of parents and staff get together, and they made the decisions. Tended to be more liberal than, well, not tend to be, definitely more liberal than what a group of some of our people in Sheboygan wanted. But again, it was parents with staff talking. And that's what I'm going to do in the assembly. You know, I don't think politicians, geez, we're not the experts. There are a ton of experts out there. Get them to the table, whatever the issue is, and then have a lively discussion.
All right. Hang on. 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. My guest is Joe Sheehan. He is a candidate for District 26. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back to the last few minutes of the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. It's Tuesday. My co-host, Sandy Williams. Sandy, the music has been, you know, exemplary.
Yeah, the music, I had a long list to choose from. These are all artists or composers who asked Donald Trump not to use their music after he used them at rallies. And I thought Happy was a particularly ironic one. We'd play it last.
You know, Sandy, emotions clearly running high and people fearful for a lot of different reasons and aspects of this campaign. But you stated more than once that the economy and the inherent dangers of what he's going to do to the economy.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the polling shows that the American public thinks that Donald Trump, they favor Donald Trump on the issue of handling the economy, which defies the reality, okay? And I think it's totally based upon the proposition that there was this inflationary period experienced in the early years of the Biden administration, which was caused in large part by, every analysis shows that it was caused by the pandemic, the supply chain shortages that were the result of that, the pent-up demand from the pandemic, and the tax reduction that was implemented during the Trump years. But all of the experts today, Wall Street's financial community, Wall Street analysts, the Wall Street Journal itself, and economists across the board, when they evaluate the proposals that are being floated on the campaign trail by Donald Trump and by Kamala Harris, have come to the conclusion that Donald Trump would do far more damage to the American economy than would Kamala Harris, that Kamala Harris, that the growth rate of the GDP would be higher under Kamala Harris than it would be under Donald Trump, that Donald Trump's policies are highly inflationary, having big tariffs imposed across the board, having large tax reductions implemented without offsetting cost reductions, all of the and the immigration deportations that he's talking about, all of these things would damage the growth rate of the GDP and would introduce the high probability of an inflationary-induced recession, a stagflation, along the lines of what was experienced in the United States economy in the late 70s and early 80s, a recession that took a long time to get over, okay? The stagflation that began in the late 70s went into the 80s, and the only medicine for it was not interest rates like we experienced during this last period, during the brief period of stifling the inflation.
18, 19%.
Yeah, right. Paul Volcker was called in to use a fire hose and did to stamp down the inflation that was the underlying cause of the recession and stagflation. So I would simply tell the American public, hey, if you're worried about the economy, a short-term issue, not the theoretical issues associated with damaging the American democratic system, but the real tangible issue of the economy, then Donald Trump poses a great danger because his economic proposals are harebrained, ill-conceived, and definitely going to damage the economy.
You know, Sandy, when you get to a place where we are right now, and emotions are running so high, I don't think there's anybody who has said that Donald Trump's economic policies are sound. I've heard harebrained. I've heard, you know, that when they talked about Ronald Reagan and his trickle down, that this is a whole lot worse than trickle-down could have ever been.
Well, people who support Donald Trump keep trying to make excuses for him by saying, oh, he doesn't really mean it. Oh, it's a negotiating position. He's not really going to do it. But he talks about the tariffs, and some say, well, those are negotiating positions designed to create leverage to negotiate with other countries. He won't implement them. But on the flip side of that, he talks about using the revenue from tariffs to fund his tax reductions, meaning that the tariffs would have to be permanent, right? They aren't simply leverage if you're going to negotiate them away and you expect to derive revenue from it to offset your tax reductions. And so this is not sound thinking. This man has destroyed 11 or 12 major businesses that he tried to start. And I simply would urge American voters not to let him to destroy this business, the United States economy. He sank casinos, which is almost impossible to do. And I'm simply suggesting that he inherited such a strong economy from Barack Obama that he couldn't stifle it, okay? And the only thing he accomplished was a tax reduction, which probably added to the inflation that came afterwards. And was throwing essentially gasoline on an already strong economy. He inherited an economy that was strong, and he didn't kill it the first time, but he's threatening to kill it the second time.
You know, Sandy, the sheer frustration is, you know, the folk who support him don't even consider that. That's not even an issue with them. They don't think that that's a big issue.
Well, I think they do think it's an issue, and I think they simply attribute to him talents and capacities that he doesn't have, that he hasn't demonstrated. And I think it's been because frequently the Republican candidate gets attributed to them things that aren't true, that they are better at fiscal policy for the United States, not true. The federal national debt has increased more under Republicans than Democrats. And so... I just think that people ought to look facts square in the eye, in particular with respect to their pocketbook.
All right. That's my co-host, Sandy Williams. Thank all of you who made the show go. Up next, Jane Madner, Greg Bach Madner on air. See you guys on tomorrow.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.